Happy New Year, blessed and healthy New Year to all of you. What a way to start 2023, isn't it? By coming into the Lord's presence on the very first day of the year, which happens to be the very first Sunday. So as you start the year honoring, exalting, and worshiping God, may God visit upon you throughout 2023 with much joy, hope, and cheer. Now, this is the time of the year we enjoy a flurry of holidays, right? Just like one holiday after the next, sometimes we don't know what day we are in. Now, perhaps during this time, you may have managed to have time for some movies during this holiday season. Oh, of course, you holy people don't watch movies anymore. So let me ask you something about movies, whether you watch or not. Maybe you have this experience. How can you tell that someone has just watched a movie? How can you tell? Maybe I'm the only one. Because when I watch a movie, I tend to talk a lot about it. You know, somehow all these things in the movie, you know, are still fresh in your mind, and somehow they just sneak into your conversation with various people. So when someone has watched a movie recently, they tend to talk about it. It's fresh. They remember. They're excited about it. All this enthusiasm about the movie, unfortunately, wear out over time. Then they move on to other movies or move on to other things. They hardly talk about that movie anymore. Now, I wonder if that's also the case concerning a Christian with God, with faith, or with church. Because most Christians can remember the excitement and the enthusiasm about God when they first experienced God's touch. Do you remember? Maybe some of you like me who grew up in kindergarten or Sunday school, we don't have a, you know, lightning striking day, but we just kind of grew up with it. But the rest of you, some of you, especially if you became a Christian in your adult years, those days are very specific. But this excitement, this enthusiasm of the first touch, like the movie experience, kind of wears out over time. Why is that? That, my fellow ECCSians, is our topic for the day. What are a people called Christians about? A people called Christians. What are we about? In other words, what do we live for? Do we live for things, you know, like watching a movie perhaps? Or is our Christian faith about relationship? First, let's think about what's the difference between thing and relationship. So things, you know, they are fixed, right? They get old, they wear out. Over time, they become stale, even boring. Bottom line, you can't relate to it, it can't relate to you. Of course, you can relate to it. Maybe you take special care of your car or your computer or your chair, you cover it with silk, you know, line it with gold and all this. But no matter whether it is gold or nothing, you cannot say thank you very much. You can't relate back to you. But relationships are different. Relationships are dynamic, and because it is dynamic, you need attention and you need to put in efforts to make it refreshing or to renew it over time so that it does not go stale. And unlike things, relationships go both ways. You love someone or you love another person, and sometimes they love back, not all the time, of course. You know, we love our children, they don't always love back the way you want it. Relationship is not just one way, but both ways. But the problem may be, because we have been in church so long, Christians, you know, church has become a thing that's fixed. Like, we come here, we know exactly where we're going, we know exactly which chair we're going to sit on, and you know, all these things, that they become stale and sometimes boring. Yeah, maybe one day we should move the piano over here and the drums over there or something like that. So, thinking about the thing and relationship, I'm sure you're already three steps ahead of me. Christians live for relationships. Relationship is the one. A new year is upon us. This is the first day of 2023. For some reason, the past few years seem to be transition years, you know. We are moving from one state of lockdown to another state of lockdown. Today we fly and we don't need to declare anything, but once upon a time we fly, we have to have the whole stack of certificates and RATS tests and everything ready. Now, hopefully all these things are behind us. From transition, maybe we can go on to some steady state. 2023, perhaps, is a time for us to take stock of our lives. And of course, this being a church, not a mahjong club or a golf club or anything like that, we want to talk about Jesus. Take stock of your faith in Jesus Christ. Is your faith just so same old, like 2021, 2022, or 2019? Could be. But even fireworks are different every year, right? In fact, the first shot of the fireworks is different from the last shot. And they're always different. Perhaps our faith can also get a spark of new life for this year. If the fireworks are different, I guess that's why we go. We enjoy it each time. And of course, we can't remember last year what it was like, unless you compare the pictures. And yet, we enjoy fireworks. We somehow like a lot of big bang and beautiful scenery and whatnot. So maybe this year, something can also spark your faith. As we begin this new year, as part of this church, ECCS, let me emphasize that the Christian faith is about relationship. And for today's sermon, we're going to be looking at three dimensions of that relationship. May God speak to us from His Word and get us to be ready to hear what He has to say for us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we thank You that You are a living, a dynamic, and a relating God, so that we who are not made of wooden blocks or concrete or things, we can really get a sense of our entirety by relating to You. Though we cannot see You or hear You or touch You yet, You make life so real for us. So this morning, as we ponder upon our relationship with You as Your beloved children, Father, speak to us from these words that You have so lovingly preserved for us in the book of Acts. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Today's scripture begins at verse 19. First of all, let's talk about some overall history. I will flash this picture many, many times over. Don't bother taking photos. If you want, I can send it to you. This is the view of the world according to the scripture. So it's like a biblical roadmap. It has a beginning, it has an ending. And so some dotted lines there because we don't know how long those are, like the beginning of the time and the ending of the time. But the rest of the time, we are pretty sure about how many years or what years they are. So the book of Acts is happening somewhere there after the cross, after Jesus has ascended. That's where the book of Acts comes in. Now, if you copy and pasted all the words of the book of Acts, all the many chapters, and then just throw into a document, and then this software can count how many times certain words appear, this is what you will see. I think they call it Wordle or Wordle. I don't know how to pronounce it. W-O-R-D-L-E. There's a website. You can just copy whatever love letters you have or your tenancy agreement and just throw into this website and it will, you know, like show all these words. The biggest words, of course, mean that they occur the most often. And look at all these big words about the divine God, Lord Jesus, Spirit, and different people, Paul, Peter, Gentiles. And then they're full of action. Come, go, bring all these things. This is the book of Acts. is about how God starts this thing, shall we call thing, on an organism called church. And X answers a few questions. It tells us what is church and what the people called Christians are here for. A very important turning point there, so important that it keeps turning, okay? Antioch is the center of Christianity. Why? Because that's the place where the word Christian is coined. So Antioch is kind of like considered as the Christian headquarters, where the word Christian is coined. So as we open to today's scripture, as we think of this, what is happening in Acts chapter 11 in the history of the church, we see that Antioch, why is it such a prominent place in the Bible? Because even in the commercial world, in the secular world, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. And prior to chapter 11 of Acts, Christians were thought of as Jewish people first, the people who believe in Judaism. And then Christians are like a subset, you know, like a branch of this Jewish religion. And then the gospel was shared, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, was shared among Jews in Jerusalem. And even Jesus at that time, when he was alive, he followed all the Jewish traditions and customs and rituals. So he was really living as a Jew. Then as Acts takes shape, you know, now you start to see that instead of Christianity being part of Judaism, it actually is very clear that it's no longer the same religion because of the salvation in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, has come through. Now, does it mean that Christianity has separated from Judaism and forgetting everything? No, because the Messiah is still promised according to the Hebrew people. In fact, Jesus himself genetically is a Jew. His DNA is a Jew. So we really cannot separate these two, except maybe the way the history moves on. All right? And so, at first, wow, they were very excited. They finally realized that the long-awaited Messiah, for whom they have waited for centuries, has come on the first Christmas day, of course. And then they realize, my goodness, so this is the promised Messiah. Why don't we worship him? This is our Savior. Now we can understand what God really means when the Anointed One, which is literally the word, the Messiah, will come and save his people through his life, through his death and resurrection and ascension, and that one day he will come back. So with this spread of religion, as you can see, Paul taking the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the known world at that time, particularly in the Roman world, then something happened. Because instead of being the same culture between Christians and Jews, they became persecuted. Can you imagine that? Persecuted. It's almost like Jesus' life all over. The Jewish leaders, the Jewish community persecuted Jesus. And now they are persecuting the church. So as a result, the Christians in that time, they spread from Jerusalem, going to different places, moving to places like Antioch. And you can see all these different towns that the Christians have gone to. And so in a way, you look at Antioch, it's like a prototype of a church, what church will be like for people like us. So now let's look at our passage and see what does a church or a people called Christians look like? What are they about? What do they live for? What turns them on? What keeps them going? Okay? Alright, so Acts chapter 11, verse 19. If you look at it, the apostles, it begins with the apostles and brothers hearing that the good news is spread to Gentiles, which is non-Jews. And then in verse 19, it says, now, those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travel as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. And the emphasis is in verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 20, the end is about the good news, which is about the Lord Jesus and Jesus alone, nobody else, nothing else. And then verse 23, if you scan down at the end, it talks about these apostles encouraged them, all these people, all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So what do you think is the first dimension about this Christianity, about this Christian faith, about these people who are called Christians? With whom or how do we Christians relate? The first dimension after reading those few verses is upward. Upward. The first dimension of Christians' relationship is to relate upward, relating to God. In other words, the realm of Christians, the world of Christians, the reality of Christians has transcended beyond this world. It's not just what our eyes can see, our ears can hear, or our fingers can touch that are real, but even the spiritual world, even God, because Jesus in many ways has manifested through his life what God is like. And so there is really good reason that people can see beyond this world. And that's what Christianity is about. By relating upward. This relationship with God comes through Jesus Christ and exclusively through Jesus Christ. Who else but Jesus Christ is this unique person whose life and death, etc., are unrepeated and so unique? Look at what the Bible tells us from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. We Christians love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and strength. And this reflects what is taught in Israel. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. O Israel, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. You see the continuity? Even though Christianity and Jews are two religions, so to speak, yet the story or the narrative, the truth, continues on. The only thing is the Jews are still waiting for that Messiah that is promised. But the Christians have taken all these Jewish beliefs and then seen Jesus as the promised Messiah. That's the only difference. So the Jewish people still have to carry out the rituals, the sacrifices. Well, today they don't have a temple, so they can't sacrifice. So they have accumulated guilt. Don't know when the temple will be reconstructed, so they just keep waiting and waiting. But for us Christians, Jesus has died on the cross, the ultimate Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That's why we can relate upward. We are not inhibited by this huge gap between us and God. How tall is God? We don't know. But we know that no matter how tall he is or how high up he is, we can relate to him because we have seen and known the good news of Jesus Christ. So much of being a Christian emphasizes this upward relationship. So what do you mean when you say, I'm a Christian? First, it means you have a relationship with God. And I tell you, this relationship is better than anything else that you can imagine. We have a lot of loving couples here. The relationships are superb. But it is a different relationship between them and God. Our relationship between couples and individual relationships with God. Because we know no matter how good the cooking is, no matter how beautiful the music is, no matter how wise the teaching is, we are still not perfect. But this relationship with God, we are soaking up all the perfection and the goodness and the purity of God with whom we relate. It's very different. So that is our first dimension. And how this relationship is, actually what we're doing this morning, we are exercising that relationship by worshiping this God. When you come in, do you say, oh, praise you, Pastor Peter, you're so wonderful. Okay, I'm not trying to tell you you should do that. Or, you know, I come and say, wow, fantastic piano playing, fantastic singing, all the smiles I'm seeing, wow, wonderful. Yes, we do that as well. But God comes first. We come here not to worship each other, but to worship God. And we make this worship a priority. We set time apart from it. Of course, 52 Sundays in a year, maybe we can't come every single Sunday, but at least our heart is set. The intention is there. This is what we plan. Unless hell or high water, we will be in the church. Or even hell or high water, as long as highway alternate one is available, I will be here. So, we make worshiping God a priority. We make this relationship a priority. And granted, you know, worship is not always easy to understand. You know, we come and sing, sometimes we understand the word, sometimes we don't, and sometimes we get offbeat, out of tune. But it's okay. It's not always easy to understand everything we do about worship. Sometimes it can be mystical or even, wow, mysterious. But we continue to do this because that's what the Bible teaches us. And that's what our elders teach us, to continue to worship God. Let me give you an example about, you know, not fully understanding. When we were young, we loved this movie. I'm sure all of you know this movie, The Sound of Music. When we were young, somehow our father got a tape player. And we have the whole soundtrack of the movie in those days, even in those days. So, you know, we didn't know, we were like maybe less than 5 years old. Of course, we didn't speak English. But by listening to the tape over and over again, we know the song so well. The dear female, dear ray, a drop of golden sun. Of course, we don't understand what we're singing. So we just came singing. You guys know this song? Yeah? Well, now you see, wow, so I really can understand tea is a drink with jam and bread. Probably not in Australia. That's why I said Europeans, maybe they drink with jam and bread. We drink coffee with jam and bread. But, you know.
My house, yes.
Oh, we do have a European culture here. Yes. What is a doe? It's a deer, a female deer. Of course, we have no idea what it meant, but we just sang along and we just mouthed the words. But we have a great time at it. Then later on, we understand, wow, it is very clever. Me, I call myself. Yes, pick me, love me, love me. You know, sew a needle pulling thread. I do it once in a while, yes, that's right. And la, you know, come on, they have finally run out of things to say, so it's just la, a note to follow, so. All right? So, we do these kinds of things when we were kids without understanding it, and then one day we realize actually it's very meaningful, it's very catchy, and it's very joyful and blessing to sing this. I'm not saying that worship is like that, okay? We keep thinking about do, re, mi, and all that. But that's what we do when we have a relationship with God. We relate to Him by loving Him, by responding to Him, by reacting to Him, by telling Him our problems, by expressing our joys to Him. That's how you relate. And so although it's not always easy for us to understand everything about what we do in church, especially today being Holy Communion, why do we do this? Why do we do that? We do it, and then as a pastor, it's my duty, of course, to explain to you what we do. And of course, you guys are so brilliant, I just have to say it once, I don't ever have to say it again. Not really. Maybe I still have to preach my Holy Communion once a year, Apostles' Creed once a year, the Lord's Prayer once a year. And we do all this because we are relating to God. All right? So that's the first thing. How about next dimension? I'm sure you all can guess. What do you think it is? Next dimension. All right, let's see. So Acts chapter 11 talks about Peter and Cornelius, this Roman soldier. And then verse 19, Once upon a time, they only preached to Jews. And then verse 20 tells us to Greeks also. In fact, to a great number of people. That's what the Bible tells us, right? The Lord's hand, on verse 21, was with them. And a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord. And then they give, you know, help from Jerusalem. They get help from Jerusalem. Geography is no hindrance. And then verse 26 at the end, what does it say? The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were no longer referred to as Jews or Gentiles or Greeks, free or slave, but they are Christians. Today, that's what we are. We are Christians. And so for this second dimension, is we relate with Christians within the body of Christ. This is within, in this church, in the body of Christ. The second dimension of this relationship, because of our faith in God, is to relate with fellow brothers and sisters, fellow believers of Christ within the church. Romans chapter 10 verse 12 tells us, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. And it's not just Romans who says that. There are many other places. I just highlight some for you. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then what about the daughters, right? Well, the Bible, when it says sons, includes all the daughters. All right. For all of you who were, okay, let's listen to this now. All of you who were baptized into Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. So in your baptism, it's an outward expression of an inward faith that, yes, now I am immersed in this water, which is Jesus Christ. Clothing me. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful blessing it is that we can come to a church and be called brothers and sisters. We all have the same heritage. We all have the same relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is no favoritism. There is no negative favoritism. Or, you know, yeah, all right. All right, everybody gets a big drumstick. This guy just get a little foot of the chicken. No, we are all loved equally. You may sing out of key. You may sing like Pavarotti. It's okay. We are still praising the same God. God still loves us the same. This is how we relate to each other. Just because my hair is grayer than you does not mean I am smarter than you. And just because your hair is darker than mine does not mean that you will score more points than me in basketball. You want to try? Okay, join the youth camp. Doesn't matter. God sees us all. And then we relate to one another as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'll be the first one to say, is this always perfect? No, it's not. No, it's not. We cannot reach that perfection, but we aim for it. We aim for this perfection that God, who is perfect, is trying to make us perfect through Jesus Christ. So this is a beautiful relationship, the second dimension. And as we think about this second dimension, about how we relate to one another, let me share with you some of this feedback that I get. As a pastor, I visit different people. I talk to various people and get feedback. Okay, sorry, I'm not going to tell you all the intimate secrets. All right, that's a pastor-parish relationship. We do have an honor system. You know, and I do see, even for myself, that ECCS is a loving and warm church. Warm especially when the aircon is not blowing. I don't know if you're feeling warm or not. Maybe I'm moving too much. It's a warm church. But then at the same time, I also get feedback, oh, ECCS is for old people. Maybe they look at me and they think I'm old. They haven't played basketball with me. That's very sad, isn't it? How do we bridge the age gap to build a sense of belonging and a connection? of all people. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with that, to have old people or young people or people in the middle. It's like a family. You have older ones and you have younger ones, right? And when we come together, it's one family because of what Jesus has done for us. So we relate to each other as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. No one higher, no one lower. Not perfect for sure, but we aim to be there. Jesus tells us to love one another like we love our neighbor. So maybe some of this challenge that we can help overcome so that people don't say, oh, that's only old church or old people. Or that's a church that only looks after the young people, organizing all this Christmas caroling just for the young people, you know, organizing all this youth and camp just for the youth. What happened to me? I have needs too. Well, maybe this is some idea that we can try to work together, work out this relationship within the church. I know I'm going to say something that you may not like to hear, but you know, try to sit with somebody you don't know. Maybe change your seat once in a while. Maybe you look at each other and say, oh, okay, I know Helen too well already. I should not always be sitting with her. Yeah, I want to sit with, oh, we have a newcomer. Yeah, we have some we have not seen for a long, long time. Yeah, maybe I can sit with that person and chat with them. It may work well, it may not. Maybe you have nothing to talk about, it's okay. At least you try to relate with one another. You reach out. Sometimes you wait for them to reach out to you. It's okay. Some days you feel like it, some days others feel like it. It's okay. I'm not trying to prescribe how you should sit, in other words. I'm not trying to tell you how, or order you and command you how to behave yourself. I think we all know that what we want others to do for us, we can also do for them. So perhaps we can also think about how else can we improve this place here so that our environment is not just for me, you know, so that an environment will be conducive for everybody. And if you see something not working well, I suggest that don't badmouth, you know, don't put it on the wall, oh, this is terrible, or you start to spread messages to all your friends or even people within the church. If something is not right, and I definitely guarantee you there'll be something that can be improved, let somebody know about it, especially someone who can do something about it, you know. If you're going to say, hey, look, we need more musical instruments, and you ask Auntie Dolly to do it, cannot. She can try, of course, but it's going to take a while. Maybe better to ask someone else. But if you need computer work done, running the slides, she's okay. So we all have different gifts. We all do different things. If you see an issue with the church, talk about it instead of just, you know, step on it or slam it. Or criticize it. It's okay to critique. I think we have talked about this before. Criticize is always point out what's bad, right? Critique means good and bad, which is okay. And we are all adults. You can say, oh, my hair is very well, I cried, no. I'll just accept it. But I remember just 2 nights ago. Someone said, oh, your hair is very light. It's okay. So, and if really you get hurt, it's okay. We learn to forgive. Don't bear a grudge. Yeah. And just, I'm going to go to another church because nobody there hurts me. Well, you just go there long enough. You might hurt somebody too. This is how we relate. Jesus has forgiven us. Therefore, we forgive. We may not always see eye to eye with one another. So when we relate, you see, within some words are above the line, some are below the line, you know. So it's not everything perfect. But that's how we work it out. And probably the biggest challenge in the church is this. There are only a few people participate to serve, to do something. Oh, they are more able. Oh, they have more free time. Oh, their voice is good. Oh, you know, the basketball is fantastic. So we just let everyone else have the privilege or the pressure of serving. Someone gives a very good illustration about our bodies. You know, how a body functions, right? There are places that are called wishbones, where these people, they wish somebody would do something about the problem. Somebody else, in other words. And also there are those jawbones, you know, what they do? All they do is talk about it, but do nothing else. And then there are the knuckle bones. The knuckle, they just knock everything. They complain, they criticize. And then, thank God, there are some who are backbones, who carry the brunt of the load and do most of the work. So our church, let us be more backbones rather than knuckle bones or jaw bones or wishbones. Let this place be a place that we can all express our faith in God. Because of this relationship with God, I am willing to relate to each other, even though sometimes I may be hurt, even though sometimes I may be looked down upon, even though sometimes I might be embarrassed. It is okay. Let the love of Christ overcome all these challenges. So far, we have covered two dimensions, upward and within. So what do you think the next one is? No more place to draw on the two-dimensional screen. How about this? Outward. Outward. The third dimension is the most emphasized dimension in today's scripture. Look at verse 19. So they were scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, etc. Telling the message. Nothing stopped them. Even though there was persecution, they continued to tell the message that Jesus is the Lord. And this, chapter 11, actually continues from chapter 8. Let me highlight some verses for you. Chapter 8, verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went, telling them the good news, and people believed. 8:24, people were brought to the Lord. Great numbers of people were taught about God, leading to people being called Christians first in Antioch. It is not an accident. So, for this passage today, and for our church today, I think our biggest challenge is relating outward, beyond the walls of a church. Many churches are overflowing. We got a feeling of that during Christmas, didn't we? That there's no more room to put any more chairs. Overflowing. But that's when we all come together in the same hall. But other churches are closing the doors. Why? Is it because of pastors? Probably. They should take the blame. Or leaders? Yes, that's right. Maybe the music is not so good, or the air conditioning is not so good. They only have air conditioning in winter and heater in summer. So you have to think about that. Or, you know, the sound system is not good. It can be a host of reasons. But the main reason is this, because the outward relating part is forgotten. Everyone looks inward. We relate to God, fantastic. We sing beautiful songs. We relate to each other, fantastic. We have buffet every Sunday. And then, anyone outside of the wall, we have forgotten. Now, sometimes we think, oh, won't it be wonderful, you know, as soon as I become Christian, then God takes me home to be with Him and enjoy this eternal blessing. Won't that be great? That would be great, right? Except you think further, then who is left to tell you, let's say, if you're not a Christian, how would you become a Christian? So God has so lovingly preserved us. Let us keep going so that we can be His mouthpiece to relate. Someone says, the longer a church has been in existence, the more its resources go toward its own preservation rather than outward outreach, spreading the gospel. Today's passage talks so much about telling the good news to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to the rich, to the poor, to the slave, to the free, to anyone who would listen. And that's how Antioch becomes a model church. People multiplying there, Now, I'm not saying that, oh, to be a church, we have to be many, many people. Well, I think God knows what he's doing. We just need to be ready to serve as he brings people to us to serve, to minister to. As he brings desperate, destitute, or people who have everything but they lack God into our midst so that we can minister to them. In a way, many churches are like, or many Christians are like this fisherman, all right? There's a guy who is a very good fisherman, because this fisherman is very well prepared. He buys the best equipment, the best fishing rod, the best bait, the best boat. He knows exactly through his fantastic radar where the fish are. He has poles, he has nets, he has everything that he needs to go and catch fish. What was that? It's not the fisherman calling me, is it? Maybe that ding dong means no matter how prepared and how good this fisherman is, how well educated, he's read so many books, he has never caught a fish. You know why? Because he has never gone fishing. How can you catch a fish if you have never gone fishing? Today, many churches, we are like maybe just this. And then they wonder why they don't grow. And they wonder why my faith is getting weak, why things are getting so boring. It's the same faces I see every... Please. I'm not making fun of you. Okay. The only one that you see the same every Sunday is this one. Not very good sight. I try to dye to green next year, maybe. Now, of course, we have problem with this. Oh, sorry. Because we say, I'm not gifted to evangelize such a big word. I'm not a preacher. I'm not like that person or that person. But you know, we put too much pressure on ourselves because we think we have to go and convert people. Do you see any word saying convert, that people go there, the apostles converted many people? No. They just share the good news. They just tell people what Jesus means to them. They just share the joy that they have received in Jesus Christ. They just basically share. They're not there to stuff Jesus down people's throats. So don't put too much pressure. I know a lot of you are very good, you know, convincers. You can talk with convincing power. You can talk very well. But let it not be mistaken. You are not a converter. Anyone who receives Jesus is not because of your sweet words or your clever words or whatever you do. You bribe them with the best drumsticks or lobster noodles. No! It's the Holy Spirit who convicts. The conversion is done by Holy Spirit. You may think you have converted somebody, and then lo and behold, you don't even see yourself in church anymore. I don't know. I don't know about that kind of a conversion. So, I know, as a pastor, I know this is the hardest. You know, and we try to do things. We try to make everything conducive here. You know, and make it easy for people to come so that they can hear the gospel. That's all we can do, is we share. So hopefully this year, after 2022, 21, 20, like being transition years, we have really gone through a major transition. But maybe it's time that this year we see some new faces, we do some new things, we do some outreach. And then for the rest of this year, I think I can preach specifically evangelistic sermons. Or we can have special things that we can do to invite our friends to come and share with them why we are Christians. On the other hand, a lot of us who have been Christians for many years, they say Christians are kind of like the pyramid-selling people, you know, those who are Shackley or what is that very famous one? I'm sure you remember. Selling all these housewares, pyramid selling. Tupperware. Tupperware, yes. Another one? Amway. Another one? Any Aussie way? You know why Christians are like them? People who sell Amway or life insurance? Because they have exhausted everybody they know. Every relative has been spoken to, they have shared, and then of course some buy, some don't buy. And Christians, we feel like we have shared our faith with everybody that we know. So now we have to become a spy or a troller, a troll, to throw somebody in a street corner and corner somebody and say, I want to tell you about Jesus. We don't have to go to that extreme. I think maybe this year we can do something that can express this relationship outward. Because we must remember, once upon a time, we were also not inside, but somebody reached out to us. Some of you may have fantastic testimonies, and I have heard some, about how you became Christians. Maybe we can share some of that and encourage each other and work on this third dimension. On the very first Sunday of the year, I try not to preach. Today's sermon, I hope, is very light and easy. Maybe it's a bit longer. But as we think about reaching outward, I'm reminded of a song. I think a lot of you know this song, Onward Christian Soldiers. How many of you don't know? How many of you know? Okay, you see how we... All right, it's a very old Christian song. But you can see the words. It's very encouraging. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners go. This is what is written for us as Christians. But in reality, the two-dimensional Christians, in other words, they don't do the outward relating. This is what they sing. Backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. They don't ever come to church. They don't ever get involved with any Christian activities. They don't even think about, oh, what is cross? They don't even know what it is. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, onward into battle, we seem afraid to go. That describes a lot of Christians, doesn't it? But by relating outward, we can overcome this. So this is the chorus. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. But in reality, many churches, those whose doors are closing, backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight, with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. You can't convince people, you can't convert people. It's the cross, the love of Jesus, that convicts us. And there's more. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. So these are the good ones, you know, these words. But look at how some churches, like a mighty tortoise, moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've often trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having different doctrines, but little charity. How's our charity with brothers and sisters? How do we relate? It's always easy. Oh yeah, I love my God so much that I cannot love others because I run out of love. That's fallacy. All right? And then one more verse. So, sit here then, ye people. Some churches, probably this is, I hope it is not too close to our church, okay? But maybe it's a good wake-up call for us. Sit here then, ye people. Join our sleeping throng. Blend with ours, your voices in a feeble song. Blessings, ease, and comfort us from Christ the King. Isn't that what we always say? But with our modern thinking, we won't do a thing. We laugh about it. Maybe it's good we can laugh at ourselves. Is our church following the lyrics on the left? Or following the lyrics of the right? May God transition us out of the transitioning phase of 2022 into 2023, where we emphasize more about onward Christian soldiers.